Peace and love, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of In Defense of Liberation, the show that it's working towards and educating about true people's liberation movements and revolution. I'm your host, Raven. I use she, her pronouns. And today I wanted to talk to you about how the continued struggle for liberation against genocide, which is happening now, of course, not only just in Palestine, but also in Iraq, Lebanon, Yemen, Kuwait, and elsewhere. What we are seeing is not, say, simply a call for peace or a call for a ceasefire. What we are seeing clearly in these nations, which we should also include here, Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali, among other nations who are continuing to see the rise in organization, in mass organization, not simply movements, not simply mobilization, but rather deep relational connections and societal organization on a mass level. We are seeing this more and more around the world. But what does this mean? How do we respond to this? How do we react to this? How do we organize alongside this? Now, like many others, I'm sure we've been privy to, participated in, seen video of, or known someone who has gone to a recent rally, a demonstration, a conference, or an educational event. I know for myself there have been movie nights featuring the movie, the one about the Zionist schools. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head now. But there's also been documentaries which have been released. There has been mass solidarity in the form of sports clubs and what they have been doing at sporting events. There has been actors and actresses, artists, all kinds of public figures, including the Pope, who have come out and denounced this situation, some of whom have made clear that this is not a case of war. So as to say, two armies who are appropriately and similarly armed going toe-to-toe on a battlefield. But rather, this is one state, Israel, a settler colonial nation, which is aided and abetted by the old empires and colonial masters in Europe and in North America, which hosts the fourth largest military, the IDF, which is bombing incessantly on a daily basis, putting a siege on the population for 16 plus years, destroying neighborhoods, destroying cemeteries, destroying hospitals, destroying schools, destroying all previously existing forms of life and social structure, political institutions, and the like, in order to settle, in order to conquer, in order to colonize the land, which they are now bombing. When it comes to the case of military objectives, What is clear, even though this is also a clear case of genocide, is that this is not a genocide against a population which has given up, but rather a genocide in order to destroy a population which has stood up countless times throughout the generations, throughout the over 100 plus years of settler colonialism and occupation. In this time frame, there have been political parties, there have been international diplomats and delegations, there have been letters written for international support, there have been newspapers and periodicals, there have been photographs and film documentaries which have been made. There has been international solidarity networks and organized attempts to build an international coalition to support the Palestinian people. There has been humanitarian efforts. There has been efforts now at the ICJ to seek out legal repercussions for this occupation. And yet, what we see is that, as history shows us time and time again, when a people attempt each and every pre-prescribed idea or tactic in order to achieve their liberation, pre-prescribed tactics often taught to them or shown to them or opened up to them by the state that they themselves are being oppressed by, or by a corrupt system which has been bought, paid for, and made a puppet in order to oppress the people. Once they make every attempt at peaceful measures, a people can only endure such criminal and brutal acts of violence for so long before they decide to take up arms and defend themselves. This much is clear throughout history and throughout the world. This was clear in times of spears and daggers. This was clear in times of swords and shields. This was clear in times of muskets and cannons. And it is clear now in times of nuclear arms, assault rifles, and space coordination and weaponry. But even up against the largest technological military apparatuses that have ever existed in human history, what is it that Israel has been unable to achieve its stated objectives against? Who is it that has prevented the IDF and the IOF from accomplishing the objectives they set out prior to October 7th, but also the ones that they have advanced and developed further into genocidal mania since the 7th of October? It is armed groups of often young teenagers or early 20-year-old adults, many of whom are former students, former doctors, some of whom have been essentially categorized in basically every space, every place of society. It's not as if these people are all just coming from some military factory in Palestine. These are human beings who had their lives, who had their dreams, who had their wants, who have their needs that are not being met and are in fact being oppressed and repressed by a state that is being supported by the international empires. A state which has only the right to exist because those who created it also colonized the world. And because Israel, as the state that exists today, the settler colonial entity that it is in fact an operative tool for that very continued colonization of the globe, rather through proxies instead of directly. So this is what we have to take into consideration when we're looking at the struggle in Palestine, when we're looking at the struggle in Lebanon, when we're looking at the struggle in Iraq, when we're looking at the struggle in Iran. Anywhere in the world where the United States or Europe has come in and decimated the society, destroyed the population, destroyed the institutions, and if it could not destroy them, it occupied them and co-opted them, corrupted them and puppeteered them. This is a majority of the world's population. This is, in fact, all of the world's population, if we are being honest with ourselves. In that situation, what these people have seen has been nothing short of nightmares. Nothing short of complete and utter destabilization and desecration of any form of humanity whatsoever. These populations in Africa, the Americas, and Asia, and in Europe, in Oceania, and in other regions throughout the world, what they have gone up against is not a military force equal to or similar to anything which they had to push it back. But in fact, in every case where the United States and Europe has gone to make sure that it can colonize and control an entire people, it has done so with measures which are completely and utterly disproportionate to anything and everything that the people of the world have possession of. They have used nuclear weapons, the United States. Do the Palestinians have nuclear weapons? No. But if they did, they would be punished for it. Like the DPRK, like other nations before them, like Cuba, was punished even by the so-called left, was chastised and criticized and insulted. But yet, when a people is facing nuclear warfare, what do you expect they do? And so the same is true in the case of Palestine. But again, this is not just simply a struggle in Palestine. If we look clearly, what is happening also in Ukraine, which we have recently found that in that situation includes on-the-ground British forces. And when you take the case of Aaron Bushnell and the struggle which led to his ultimate self-immolation, we see that there are also American fighters, European fighters, engaging in the genocide of the Palestinians. What this should make clear to us is threefold. First of all, this is not simply a series of spontaneous or disconnected battles, but is an international, interconnected effort to isolate and try to attack points of interest in order to bring to a total, insurmountable level the violence and desecration of the population of the world, so as to ensure that whatever is left and whoever is left, whoever does not fight back, remains in that position, not fighting back. That is why we also see the continued imprisonment and torture of Leonard Peltier and Mumia Abu-Jamal, as we talked about in my last episode. The second thing that must become clear to us by this analysis is that ultimately, the war, as it is being described, is being lost by the international imperialists. Now, how can I claim such a thing when so many thousands of people have died? Simply put, The imperialists cannot go toe-to-toe with the resistance forces. And so what are they doing? They are bombing innocent civilians. But by doing so, they are further exposing themselves even to their own populations, who are now advancing certain types of struggles, going beyond peaceful protests, going beyond educationals, going deeper into the issue of organizing, mass organizing, going deeper into the issue of occupying land, going deeper into the question of indigenous genocide here on Turtle Island, genocide that the Europeans have committed, genocide that the Canadians have committed, and other states and governments against indigenous populations throughout the world. All of this is being lifted to the forefront. And when we look at what sort of actions are being taken by the resistance forces, we see also a clear and conscious plan forward. This is the last point that we should take. That ultimately, no one can liberate you for yourself. No people can be fully liberated by another. And that means, first, that we cannot, by our actions, liberate the Palestinians for them. We will never liberate any people for them. But the second point that it should bring from this is that what the Palestinians are doing, not just armed resistance, but especially mass organization of their society. They have health clinics. They have doctors' unions. They have workers' unions. They have political parties. They have social movements, etc. Even under siege, even within Gaza's concentration camp. They are showing the people of the world what true organization looks like. Because once a people makes a decision to organize themselves, to stand clearly on principles and to demand control over their own destinies, their own resources, and their own lives, in order to do that, one must be willing to struggle and fight by any means necessary. And this is clear. This is shown in every case of history in the Palestinian struggle, that whatever means were chosen, necessary, or ultimately able to be achieved by the people, by the masses, was eventually the form of struggle which was ultimately chosen and thus engaged in en masse. Previous times led to previous tactics, but now the Palestinians are clear and they are acting en masse. This is not just one brigade, one political party, one group of people who are struggling, but it is the entire Palestinian population, one way or another. And what I want to take out of this, what I want people to take out of this, is not simply what I think a lot of people hear when someone makes a point about armed resistance or someone brings up the history of armed struggle. I am not advocating anyone do anything. I'm not advocating anyone commit acts of violence. I'm not advocating anyone harm anyone. In fact, what I'm advocating for is that people find a way to organize themselves so that they as individuals don't make those decisions, aren't put into those positions where they have to make those decisions. But what I am clear about is that at the end of the day, when resistance groups, wherever, or revolutionaries, wherever, decide to pick up the gun, it has nothing to do with a want to commit violence. If you listen to and read the speeches of Fidel Castro and Che Guevara, if you read Vladimir Lenin, if you read Kwame Nkrumah, if you read Sekou Touré, if you read Kwame Touré, if you read Malcolm X, and really study them, you will see that none of them are advocating for violence for violence's sake. None of them are advocating for anyone to be harmed and anyone to be attacked without reason, without first or, well, let me put it this way. What is advocated for, what we as people need to advocate for, is the necessity for the ability for one to defend oneself. We need to be developing community and collective forms of self-defense. And again, this is not to say just go pick up a gun, go get 3-4 years to go play around with guns. No, don't be fucking stupid, all right? Join a martial arts gym as a group and start training, or form a yoga group in your own space and talk about the importance of health and diet. Do everything that is encompassed within self-defense. And this includes one's physical and mental health. One cannot properly defend anyone without the ability to actually understand their bodies, the ability to understand their mind and their consciousness. And on top of that, one cannot successfully defend even themselves without a clear understanding of the reality in front of them. And so, at the end of the day, when we talk about self-defense, what we are really, 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 really wanting people to focus on is the importance of organizing, meaning finding whatever measures, whatever means, whatever issue are most relevant, most pertinent, most achievable by the people who are you are trying to organize with, your community, your neighborhood, your workforce, what have you. But not just remaining there, remaining complicit, remaining idle in the same tactics and positions that we have seen for hundreds of years. But instead, coming together to decide whether or not these tactics are successful anymore. Coming together to decide how to put forward a strategy. Coming together to decide how to properly prepare for, not simply respond to, the many situations and conditions which are facing the population en masse. This means building connections. This means building organizations. This means meeting people. This means, you know, in a lot of cases, traveling. This means sacrifice. This means abandoning, especially, ideas of liberalism, abandoning ideas of spontaneous action, abandoning a belief in electoralism, especially within a settler colonial nation. This means also abandoning all pre-existing ideas which do not get us, which have not gotten us as people to liberation. Until we are finally able to liberate ourselves, until people are finally in a position where they are willing and able to take whatever steps are necessary, again, based on their own conditions, until they are willing to break from what has existed and develop something new, we will continue to see organizations pop up and disappear. We will continue to see mobilizations and marches and protests stand up and then sit right back down. At the end of the day, these are forms of resistance which have been ultimately co-opted and co-signed by the state. These are forms of Mobilization, not organization. And when it comes to the regional war, the regional struggle for liberation, the regional struggle against genocide, which you are seeing expand throughout West Asia, we must understand that this is not just a militant effort. All of these nations have been invaded, destroyed, and occupied by the United States. They have gone on to form organizations, they have gone on to form political parties, they have gone on to try to develop institutions. They have done everything under the sun that we think we are fucking geniuses for coming up with. Because we ignore the fact that at the end of the day, these tactics are not new. These conditions are not new. These struggles are not new. And until we get that through our head, we're gonna keep doing the same fucking shit over and over and over and over and over and over again, including saying goodbye to a population from this planet. And now, you know, I know for a lot of us it's been really hard because either we can't turn away, or we don't want to turn away from the images and scenes of outright desecration of human life, which are being live streamed, this genocide, which is being live streamed on social media and elsewhere. Seeing this absolute, inhumane, brutal, genocidal attempt to exterminate a population has led a lot of people astray. And I think that's kind of the goal. You know, the goal is to make people fearful. The goal is to make people think that there's nothing they can do. The goal is to ultimately, of course, in the first case, seize land, resources, and political power over a point of interest in the international stage. But in doing so, try to show the world's population that they too can have this happen to them, as many have had happen to them before. So because of this, we cannot take these issues lightly. We cannot see them as disconnected and random events. And we certainly cannot see them as the result of simply individuals' actions, so as to expect that another individual, namely elected officials and the like, will be able to overcome their position of power, their ideological trend, and their interests to do what is necessary and right to save anyone except for themselves. That is the way of the world as it stands under imperialism. There are interests which are being sought out and ultimately achieved and gained by this genocidal, maniacal, inhumane extermination campaign. This is leading to insane amounts of wealth in the most wealthiest of pockets. This is leading to more resources and more control over land for those who have all the resources and control all the land. This is, at the end of the day, again, an international attempt to destroy any semblance of humanity, any semblance of democracy, anything that pre-existed is now rapidly descending into chaos and destruction, because at the end of the day, it benefits the ruling class. And we must know this, we must understand this, and we must accept this as reality and not simply try to paint our own ideals and perspectives over it, but use history and the experience of revolutions in the past and revolutionary organizations here to understand what is necessary, how we do this, how we struggle, how we organize, and stop doing it to try to feed your ego. Stop trying to feel like a good person because you organize, because at the end of the day, we're not good people. None of us are really good people. That is to say, we live in a fucked up society, so all of us are impure, imperfect, make mistakes, are going to do things wrong, and are going to do things for the wrong reasons sometimes, including our ego, or our personal wants or needs. This is not a legitimate form of struggle. This is not a legitimate form of organization, but is individual action and is unsustainable and insignificant against a system which has been in place for over 500 years. End of the story is this, my friends. The Palestinians are not stupid. The Lebanese are not stupid. The Iraqis are not stupid. The Nigerians are not stupid. The Burkinabe are not stupid. The Cubans are not stupid. The Nicaraguans are not stupid. The Chinese are not stupid. The Vietnamese are not stupid. And if they all came to the same sort of conclusions based on their own conditions and necessities, then who are we to tell them anything other than thank you? And who are we to condemn their actions as if we have any moral ground to stand on, as if the question of morality has anything to do with it at all? We abandon and we betray humanity when we condemn people taking their destinies into their own hands, however they do it. All power to the people. Free the land. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Free Leonard Peltier. Free all political prisoners. Free Palestine. Long live revolutionary struggle. Long live the people of Palestine. Peace and love.